And welcome everybody to Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash.
How's
it going, Johnny?
Pretty good. It's hot here. Like 70.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, did you feel the earthquake?
I did. We did. We were working from home Friday morning, and Helen and I's desks are back to back. And I thought I was like having a seizure. But I was like, no, because I've had these moments before where like before I kind of got my anxiety under control, my body would kind of vibrate.
Yeah.
At times I thought that's what was going on. I was like, nope. The room is moving. So I had Helen had her headphones on. I was like, Helen, do you feel that? And she's sitting on she sits on a balance ball chair thing. So she didn't feel it until she stopped. And then she's like, she could see the wall moving just a little bit. And our blinds were moving a little bit. So yeah, it was kind of crazy.
And were you in the path of totality, or did you get to see the eclipse at all?
91% coverage.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got to see some of it.
So how hot is it?
It was 70 today, which is hot when you're used to 18.
Super cold around here. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I'm going to be in Florida for the next couple of weeks. So we're going to be playing, I wouldn't say the best of while I'm gone, because I listen to these and they're not great.
You just came back from the spa, though. Did you get your bikini waxed?
I did. I have the airstrip. Isn't that what the kids call it? The airstrip?
I don't know.
And, happy trail. The happy trail.
I
went to the tanning booth, the spray on tanning booth. I got my butthole tan. That's the only part I got tanned.
Perfect. Just spread it open. Why do you need your butthole to be darker?
Nude beaches bleach, in Florida.
Don't they bleach their buttholes?
No, I want it dark. I want it like the black hole. Okay. And I got my front. I got my front also spray tanned. So when I look down, I go, whose dick is this? And that'll be weird.
Ooh, I'm a black man.
Yeah. And I could tell Dana hey, a stranger's tonight, you know. It looks like a Tootsie Roll at this point. So that's bad. It's not good. Yeah. It's actually bad. Didn't turn out well.
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, our first episode was worse than this.
So while I'm gone, we're going to play three episodes, not this episode, but we'll be playing three episodes in the next week and a half. And the first one that we're going to play is episode one. So when I moved everything over to Blueberry Hosting, I posted from episode 30 on, and we've been going since episode 30. 30 is not great either, but episode one, called Humble Beginnings, which is what you're going to listen to right after this little intro. It had all the things that were wrong when you begin with podcasting. It was here, so we were both here. It wasn't remote. I had that Scarlett 4 plugged in and then plugged into my Mac, and we're using Audacity for the recording. And the microphones weren't super swell. My furnace came on and near the end, and so that was really loud. And then Helen and Dana were laughing and yelling, and that was very audible. This was about we drank the Oma Gang Three Philosophers. Remember that? That was our first beer ever.
Yep.
We had Old Forester Bourbon, which at the time I was all about, and I haven't had it in a very long time. I loved it. Mm-hmm. We were all over the place. We didn't have a topic. We hodpodged it. And, I was like, hi, I'm Wes Olson, and I'm John Harrison.
Hello.
Yeah. It was a very NPR podcast until the drinking came. And then, for some reason you introduced Greg from Tacoma as a listener that's never heard our podcast before, but he is our one listener.
Totally made up.
Yeah. We even talked about how stupid a name Greg is.
Greg.
Name their kid Greg. Hey, this is my kid Greg.
Why do you hate your kid so much? You name him Greg.
Yeah. We made a lot of breathing noises. There was a lot of, it's like a dirty call, and
so bad.
We would do things like this where we talk away from the microphone, then we come up and then we talk away. And then we didn't have the thing yet where we were comfortable what we were doing. So
yeah,
my hope is that if you are a new podcaster, or you want to start podcasting and somehow you've stumbled upon our nonsense, that you would listen to this and say, hey, these guys started from crap and now they're just better crap. And I can also make it after 100 episodes.
We are proof you can polish a turd.
Yeah. We had one imaginary listener when we began, Greg from Tacoma. Mm-hmm. And now we have...
Thanks, Greg.
After iTunes messed with all the stats, we now have over 200 listeners. Mm-hmm. And who knows if that's even true. So
I don't know.
Yeah. But we do have consistent listeners, and we appreciate them.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So do you remember anything from episode one?
Just bits and pieces. I didn't get a chance to go back and listen to it, but we did listen to it a little bit last week when we were prepping.
Yeah.
Like you just skip to random places, and like right at the end, we're just like talking about how weird words were.
Yeah, I know.
It just went off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember like there was a process, like we did just kind of show up and drink and talk, and we didn't have a topic. And I think we probably both felt the same. And there was like one episode where like it just was flat. We didn't really have anything to talk about. It was kind of, and I think that was the catalyst for like kind of improving what we were doing and like having like pre-planned topics and something we thought about, and it, and that made a big difference in what we were doing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. So, well, I hope you guys will take an example of Humble Beginnings. And now you hear the rich tone of our voices. We
so sultry.
We know what we're doing, sort of. And we hope you really enjoy episode one, Humble Beginnings.
Cheers.
Cheers. This is Beer, Bourbon, and Boulder Dash, the podcast about drinking and nonsense. And I'm Wes Olson.
And I'm John Harrison.
And basically, this podcast is about two friends that want to get together and drink and share it with the world. So that's why we're here. How you doing, John?
I'm good. We really do think you deserve to hear our conversations.
Yeah, we think that you should be privileged to do that.
You're welcome.
Sure. Yeah, you're welcome. Well, really, this podcast came about because you and I were sitting out in the back porch. I think it might have started there. And we're having a good time. It's we're like laughing. You know, basically smelling our own farts, thinking it's really funny. And thought, well, wouldn't this be fun if this was a podcast? Like, I would listen to this. Would you listen to this?
I would listen to this.
Okay. Just a couple guys just doing some nonsensical things, drinking. Maybe people will learn stuff. They might be dumber afterwards, like SpongeBob. So we'll see. Solving the world's problems. And I think that's one of the things that I wanted to do with this as well is that, you know, you and I, we disagree on some things. Mm-hmm. We agree on quite a bit of things. But in our disagreement, we love each other. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that maybe we can be an example of how to disagree and still like a person.
Yeah,
and not want to cancel them or hate their guts or never talk to them again. So,
yeah.
And the biggest part of the, one of the biggest parts of the podcast, I guess, is we will do a beer tasting and a bourbon tasting. We'll try to describe it because we're not experts at this at all. And today we're going to do a blind one where you brought a beer that I don't know what it is. And I brought a bourbon that you do not know what it is.
Yeah. I think we'll try to do it blind. I'd like to do it blind every time. I think it's fun to try it blind. Okay. And then you can tell me how terrible it is. And
Yeah. So I think maybe we should start with the beer first.
Yeah, let's have the beer first. Let's okay. Cheers. We'll give it a taste and we'll chat about it.
We'll do some ASMR with our drinking.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that was nice. And should we slurp in front of the microphones?
Yeah, just to make sure that they know that we're drinking.
That is a beer. It smells like a beer.
Yep.
Hmm. Oh, it's tasty.
That's a big beer.
It is.
That's a very big beer. Do you want to know what it is?
Well, let me...
Tell me about it.
When I look at it, it's a brown beer. Beer's brown. It's got a nice head on it. And I'm guessing it's a brown ale. Anyways, is my guess. Tell me about it.
It's not a brown ale like a British brown ale. It's actually a Belgian style beer, but it's made in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah.
Local?
No, not local. Almost as far away from here as you could get and still be in the United States. Not like Florida direction, but like it's from New York.
Oh, okay.
But it's a Trappist style ale.
What does that mean?
The Trappist style ales are like monks would brew these beers, triples, quads, big Belgian style beers. They usually have a
pretty distinct flavor. And if the monks are brewing it, it's usually entirely for raising funds to build on the church or the monastery or to raise funds for whatever project they're doing. And they would only brew enough to sell it off to be able to raise the funds for what they were doing. That's where the styles for the Trappist style beers originated. This is not an official Trappist beer because it's like an actual designation. This is just a Trappist or a Belgian style strong ale.
So they would make the alcohol, sell it to the public, call them sinners, and tell them they have to come to church to tithe.
That's right.
It's a plan.
Yeah, I know. It's a it's a perfect circle.
It's a perfect circle. Monks were always drunk.
So this is actually a quad. And so it's a really big, heavy-duty beer.
I like it, though.
It's yummy. It's perfect for... I think this is the perfect beer to start this podcast with because of what we're trying to do. This beer is actually from Omegang Brewery, and they do almost entirely Belgian-style beers, and they're based in Cooperstown. You know Cooperstown?
Nope. Is that Baseball Hall of Fame there?
Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay. I guess I do.
And FYI, if you ever plan on visiting the brewery, its address is Cooperstown, but it is not in Cooperstown. Oh. It's like through windy roads out in the middle of New York. It took us probably an extra hour to get there than we expected. But Helen and I went and visited there, and this brewery has been making beers that we've liked for a long time.
Yeah.
So this beer is actually Three Philosophers. It's one of their most well-known beers.
Omegang.
It's pronounced Omegang.
Omegang.
Nice try. Thanks.
A blend of quadruple ale and creek ale with cherries. Oh, there is a cherry flavor to it. That's true.
Yeah.
That's good.
This beer is delicious, but it's also fairly heavy duty.
It's heavy.
Yeah. It's a heavy sipping beer. It's not a...
Oh, it's a 9.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's a good start. I love this beer. I love that it's Three Philosophers because, you know, we're just a bunch of chubs sitting around
philosophizing.
You and me and Nigel.
Yeah, and Nigel.
Nigel.
We'll get to him some other time.
Yeah, probably not today.
Yeah. No, this is yummy.
But the two of us and then another guy.
This is very, very good. Thank you. So they call it, it's not in Cooperstown, but they call it Cooperstown.
Yeah.
It's like people in Kirkland calling themselves Seattleites.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's keep the record straight here. Yeah.
Just own your city.
Yeah, own your city.
Tacoma's not Seattle.
Yeah. It's shitty, but it's not Seattle.
Be nice to Tacoma.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry to our one Tacoma listener.
Sorry, Taco Town. Our one Tacoma listener.
We just ostracized our entire audience.
Yeah,
Greg down in Tacoma.
Sorry, Greg. That's delicious. Did you, you've been in New York?
Yeah. Well, my wife's from New York.
Yeah.
So.
Did you go there when you were in New York? Go to the brewery?
Yeah. We did. Ah. It's a cool place. It's like, it's sexy. Mm-hmm. It's an old dairy farm. They own a bunch of acreage out there and you can actually camp there. But you go through like, it looks like what you would imagine an old time large dairy farm would be. That's the big arched entryway, and they have the pub off to the side. They grow hops there.
Okay.
It always smells like beer.
Yum.
It's
that's not bad.
It's gorgeous too. It's out in the country. It's really, really gorgeous. They have their amphitheater. They do live music out there, and we've only ever been there in like the fall.
What's the town or the city that they're actually in?
It's Cooperstown.
Oh, okay.
But it's like way out.
Oh,
it's like way out of town.
Okay. So my analogy failed, essentially. Yeah. Okay.
So it's close enough. I don't think anyone's going to ding us for that one.
Well, they might.
And if you do, go listen to somebody else like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, like Joe Rogan. Actually, go listen to Joe Rogan.
Speaking of things,
go listen to Joe Rogan. So where did you buy, where'd you find this can at here in Seattle?
The Beer Junction and the Alaska Junction. So for our international listeners, West Seattle, where we're at now, is across the water from Seattle.
The best Seattle.
And there's a really great beer store, the Beer Junction, that I highly recommend. Their selection's top notch. And Helen actually found this beer. She was the one that spotted it. And she was like, this would be so great as we philosophize.
Yeah. Oh, Helen.
Yeah.
She's always thinking.
I know.
That one's smart as a whip.
I know.
For our listeners, that's John's wife.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a dummy, so I'm glad she's around.
made up for it there. That's good.
That's, anyway.
Yeah. That's delicious.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it. It's a strong one, so I'm glad we're sharing it. Mm-hmm. We'd only get about halfway through the podcast and...
Oh, that's part of the fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That things might get silly or nonsensical, and you might have to turn us off. Yeah.
What else did you taste in there?
Well, I did get the cherries. I don't know. I want to say some kind of chocolate notes. Not like a stout, but it's kind of in there. Like a more of a milk chocolate, mm-hmm. I guess.
It's got an interesting bitterness that kind of like coats and stays, but it's not harsh. It doesn't... Mm-hmm. It doesn't detract from anything. It just kind of hangs out.
Yeah, it does linger.
I really like that.
But it's not bad. It's not one of those things where you're kind of like, oh, how the hell do I get this out of my... Mm-hmm.
This is dangerous.
Like a peaty scotch where you're like, oh, yeah. My gosh.
So people who are listening, if you don't know Oma Gang, you might know Duvel. Oma Gang is owned by the company that makes Duvel. And they make Duvel for the U.S. market at the Oma Gang Brewery. But it's all Belgian-style beers. It's a golden strong ale that will make you forget things.
Yeah. Reminds me of something that we would grab up at Prost. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yummy, yummy.
Well, that's a good start.
That is a great start. Thank you so much. Malty and gentle sweetness. Very good.
So what world's problems are we going to solve today, Wes?
I don't know. What's really going on in the world?
I got something that I think is BS. Here we go.
Yeah.
Saw this on the news the other day.
Okay.
I think you're going to agree with me.
Yeah.
This makes me mad.
Okay.
Do you know the Seattle this city really of Seattle? It
grinds my gears.
It does. So with COVID, nobody could eat inside. So they made all these exceptions and allowed restaurants to build places outside. And now the city wants to charge restaurants $4,000 for a permit to keep their outdoor seating. Restaurants that are like barely getting by anyway.
How?
Now they want to, like, with the minimum wage increase, which I agree with. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, living wage.
But it's like they can only step up so fast before they just drive people away. But now the city wants $4,000 for a couple picnic tables on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's BS.
$4,000.
Yeah.
Well, that's that.
And I mean, they're making tax dollars on all the food and liquor that it's like double dipping. It's just total garbage.
Yep. That's what they do.
I don't get it.
That's what cities do. They don't care about small. I don't think they care about small business. That's my opinion.
I don't think so either.
What I see is a lot of council people and people who make laws and decisions for everyone else. And they don't really care about small business owners. These guys have innovated to continue to stay open and operate because they got families to feed and they have employees that have families to feed. Mm-hmm. So they're doing whatever they can to do pickups that are safe, to have the outdoor, because not all of them are like a restaurant that has like a patio in the back.
Yeah, they don't all have that option.
Yeah. So, and they want, you know, maybe they disagree with the mandate. And so they're like, well, if we have an outdoor option, then we can get the people that don't necessarily want to be vaccinated out there. So it makes sense to me. And I just don't know why cities would try to tax them. And that's an enormous tax. That's almost a fine.
Like, can you imagine if you were like a 20 seat pub and you had two picnic tables outside, you could fit another 12 people at your place.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you got to pay $4,000 for those 12 people. Like, how much do you have to sell over the course of the year to make up that $4,000?
Yeah.
Like, that's not just like $4,000 of sales. That's $4,000 of profit that's coming directly out of your pocket.
Yeah.
And a place that size has, what, half a dozen employees?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of money to one of those. But it's like, it's asinine.
Yeah.
Also, you know what people love?
What?
Eating outside.
They do. Well, not right now.
But... Well, not right now because it's cold.
Yeah.
But generally, like...
Yeah.
A nice warm summer day, like the proliferation of like outside seating has been one of the best things to happen to this city.
Yep.
We don't get to sit outside enough.
No.
Now we can, and now we're not going to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. You think people will start taking that down? What does it go in effect?
I don't know. I was so infuriated by the story that I didn't get the details.
I mean, it does.
I'm just mad, Wes. Yeah. I'm just mad.
Well, it sounds like a fine. It doesn't sound like a tax. It sounds like a fine.
And why?
Like, $4,000? Congratulations for surviving. You owe us $4,000.
Yeah. Like, what? To what end? Like, what are they trying to like solve or enforce or like, why $4,000? Like, to me, it sounds like, well, we don't want to tell you you can't, but we're going to make it so you can't.
Yeah.
We're just going to tax the shit out of you.
Yep. Wait, Well, on that note,
sorry for the S-bomb.
That's all right. On that note, what grinded my gears this week was Jay Inslee saying that he's going to postpone the long-term care till April.
Why did that grind your gears? Give me the skinny on that.
That grinds my gears because I went and got private insurance.
Let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
What do you think about that mandate, the long-term care
tax? I think it's income tax.
It is an income tax, absolutely.
So I think that what he's doing is because the state does not allow income tax, mm-hmm. and it's in our state constitution. I think he went around it, or lawmakers went around it. I don't know who to pick on exactly. Saw a way to get an income tax, and a lot of people decided to go get private insurance because they mm-hmm. were like, no, screw you, Washington. And now they're kind of frustrated because they're not getting any money. Insurance companies are getting the money mm-hmm. because this Long-Term Care Act meant that you couldn't take it out of state mm-hmm. when you were able to use it, which is like after like 10 years of buying into it.
10 years and above a certain age.
Yep. Yep. At which right there, I think it fails because mm-hmm. if you're buying into something that you cannot immediately use, that's like a life insurance mm-hmm. or a health insurance policy, I think it fails right there.
Yeah, well, like, why would I pay the same amount for something I could use tomorrow?
Yeah. And a lot of people got hosed on mm-hmm. this. So he said something to the, and I can't quote him, but that they have to review it and go back and relook at it. So, but my question is, and did you do the private long-term care?
I did.
Are they going to rebate you and I for paying into it and getting it done by December?
Yeah, for the extra 6 or 8 months that I'm paying that I didn't have to have it.
Yeah.
I've thought about that too. It honestly really ticks me off. Like, I'm glad I have the insurance that I have. I'm actually not upset that I have long-term insurance now that was the catalyst for me to do it. Cause yeah. I think as we get older, you know, cause I'm old and broken, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad thing to have in my toolkit to protect me and my family.
Would you have even thought about it, though?
No.
If they didn't, force it on you?
I thought about it because, you know, there's, like, commercials they talk about all the time. Everyone's trying to sell you long-term care. And yeah. like, but I would never have, like, actively and legitimately looked into it to yeah. find the one that was right for me.
I assumed my health insurance already had some kind of, like, you know, hey, if you're needing long-term care, your health insurance pays for it.
Yeah, right? But turns out?
I guess not.
Not so much.
So odd.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, I guess, that you take for, because who wants to read the 1200 page booklet mm-hmm. that comes with your health insurance yeah. information?
Well, and you never really think about that. Like, well, what happens when I retire? Like mm-hmm. One of the worst parts about employer provided health insurance is that it ties you to your job. Like, if the biggest reason people don't leave their job or go do something better is because their insurance.
Yeah.
They're afraid to lose their insurance.
Well, it is an income. It's like a type of income.
It is. It is. Really, so, like, important. Think about all the people that have great ideas that want to start a business, like the innovators out there that are just like, I think this about this with my family. Like, I've always had jobs with good insurance, which mm-hmm. I always appreciated. And it makes me second guess or make different decisions on what I would do. Because that insurance protects me and my family.
Yeah.
And I would rather have that protection than the risk of, like, going out without yeah. insurance and coverage. Because if day one, I, like, say I have a great idea for a widget and I go try to make that happen and I don't have insurance and I get hurt, my family's bankrupt.
Yeah.
Because our entire healthcare system
yep.
is not for helping people. It's for helping big businesses. It's total garbage.
It is.
So think about all the people that actually, like, I'm not saying I have any really great ideas, but, like, if I wanted to go start a remodel company, I can't afford private insurance. Yeah. And think about all the people that are brilliant out there that have these ideas that want to start businesses that just choose not to because they're like, well, if I stay with Amazon, my insurance is great and my family's covered.
Right.
If I take my idea on my own and I don't have insurance and something happens, catastrophic, even a broken leg, now my family is in a real tight spot.
Yep.
It's too risky.
Scary.
Yeah. I'll just sit and make somebody else money instead of innovating and making our economy. I mean, really, the economy as a whole is what's suffering. The innovation that has been so great in the US for so long,
yep,
is stifled,
yeah,
by this system that keeps people from truly innovating and taking their ideas to go do bigger and better things.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I mean, it becomes a very long conversation about what's broken in our healthcare system. I think we have to stop pointing fingers on what party. Oh my God, the party. The
party stuff is nonsense.
Yeah, well, it's distraction from actually getting down to what's most important.
It's not helpful.
No.
It doesn't help anything. And I'm also not opposed to people making money providing a service. Mm-hmm. But the level at which these businesses are profiting off of our not being healthy, mm-hmm, is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's always profit over, mm-hmm, people. You watched Dope Sick?
I did. Yeah.
And that was based on a true story. That was crazy.
That is nuts.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No spoilers, but you should watch it if you haven't watched it.
Yeah. And then think about what we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and it just,
well, at least the vaccines aren't addictive. I mean, it's different.
Yeah,
I do think there is a whole nother with like sort of non sequitur a bit, but I do think the vaccines is a tricky one, because while it's not physically addictive, it is mentally addictive.
Yeah.
Because we all want to be safe, and people are constantly looking for the thing to protect themselves. And if you think it's going to protect yourself, you'll get a shot every day if that's what it takes, if that's what you've been convinced you need. That's extreme. That's not where we're at right now. I personally think the vaccines are valuable in general. This is a whole nother conversation, but it is like there's a lot of psychology behind it. Like, what is that balance of safety to society and our family and our own person?
Yeah.
And how much of it is somebody just trying to sell you on something?
Yeah.
Because somebody's making money on it.
Making billions.
If Pfizer and Moderna are required because of the emergency actions, mm-hmm, to sell it at cost, well, they get to dictate what cost is.
Yep.
So if it costs them 7 cents and they say, well, our cost is $25 because we have all these different things we have to pay for. Like, the government's not saying what cost is. They're not, yeah, saying we will pay you for this much for that. They're saying, well, what does it cost? We'll pay you that.
Yep. Yep. I mean, if you're a company, I mean,
why not?
Yeah, let's keep this going for a long time, too.
I mean, honestly, if you were in that position to be able to just like feed that cash cow, wouldn't you?
Has the formula changed on the vaccines?
They talked about it.
Are they still giving everyone the alpha vaccine for whatever's new? Good questions that I have when it comes to that.
They did just recently say that the newest variant that's coming out, the vaccines are not effective against it. Like, the rate of infection of vaccinated people is really high.
Yeah.
But it's just like before, they're saying that actually today a study came out with the UK with, they were like the biggest first hit with the new variant. People are getting infected at 3 times the rate they were before, but the rate of severe infection is much lower. And it's like, because people are starting to get vaccinated or have had it, their bodies are trained to fight COVID. Maybe not that specific strain, but they're like ready. They're like ready to fight, even though they don't know what they're going to fight. So they start making the antibodies quicker than if they'd never seen it before.
Yeah. There's a lot of unknowns, though.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part about the whole thing, is making these decisions without having a lot of solid evidence. We're always kind of looking into the past as well, trying to figure it out. So everything feels retroactive.
Yeah.
Rather than proactive.
Yeah.
Or reactive. So yeah, we can talk vaccines another day. Everyone talks about vaccines.
This is a hot topic around the house.
No, we're all on the same page around the house. Let me ask you, do you believe in vaccine mandates?
That's a tough one.
Do you believe in this vaccine mandate?
So I don't think we should go door to door and force people to get vaccinated. However, I do think it's within a business's right to say, if you're not vaccinated, you can't come into my place of business.
That's fine. Do you think the federal government should mandate a vaccine for all people?
No. Like,
or you'll lose your job?
No, I don't. Well,
from the government, not from
like specifically like federal employees. Mm-hmm. Well, so that's like it's essentially like a private business mandating it. I think there's a lot of jobs that can be done remotely. We've proven that. I also think if you are in a role where you're exposed to people like a firefighter, somebody that can infect other people or be infected, yeah, I think it's absolutely acceptable to say you need to be vaccinated. Yeah,
I agree. I actually have friends that the wife is not vaccinated, but the husband, who's a chaplain with the fire department, is vaccinated. And he's gotten the boost and everything mm-hmm. else, because in his mind, it's medical. He's dealing with sick people sometimes, or people mm-hmm. that have, you know, so he feels like that's necessary. But it was his choice.
Yes.
I mean, they mandated it later. He did it before a mandate, but.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. It's like the choice part. It's mm-hmm. like, well, this is where I have a lot of gray issue. Like, I fully believe in vaccines. I don't necessarily know that what we're given is the best be all end all. I do think it helps. I think millions and millions of people have had it with very minimal repercussions and side effects. And there are side effects, like with any vaccine. But at the same time, I don't think it's right for us to tell people they have to do anything. And that's like across the board. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, maybe what you, like, not telling you, you have a choice. I am allowed as a business to say you can't come in here if you're not vaccinated, but as a business, I'm not allowed to tell you you have to be vaccinated. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you can't come and visit me if you're not vaccinated. That's different than saying you have to be vaccinated. You have a choice. Your choice is get vaccinated and come see me, or don't come see me. That's your choice. Make that choice. That's up to you. But I don't think we should go around telling people you have to be vaccinated just because you have to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
I think that's a nonsense Gestapo. Yeah. Like, yeah, like you get to this point where you're dictating everybody's personal choice. And I think personal choice is important.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's even if it's flawed, I think that's human.
Mm-hmm. But you still have a choice, right? Like,
yeah.
Just because, like, it's this whole First Amendment, freedom of speech, like, you have a right to choose, but your choice has repercussions.
Yeah, it does have consequences. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, you can choose to do something, you can choose not to.
Sure.
And that will allow you or not allow you to do certain things. And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
You just need to understand the consequences of your choice, just like with anything.
Yep.
And accept those. And none of it is, like, crazy harsh. Like, I'm sorry, you can't go get a Bud Light in a bar because you're not vaccinated. I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah.
That's not a life or death situation, but there also, are people.
It's cheaper at home.
It is cheaper at home. But it's like, there's a lot of people that can't be vaccinated and they don't have that option. So, you know, if I can be vaccinated and it helps protect somebody else, like Helen and I are both in the mindset of like, I don't really think if I got sick, it was going to be that bad anyway, but if I could avoid infecting somebody else, I'm happy to do that. And it's been that way with vaccines forever, like polio and smallpox.
And I think most people would agree with that. I think even like what we would characterize as hardcore anti-vaxxers, which, by the way, according to Merriam-Webster, if you're against mandating vaccines, you're an anti-vaxxer. That's the new definition. I think if given the choice, if people had the information and didn't feel like they were having the wool pulled over them, or mm-hmm. if they had more trust in our government, or
that's just it. That's
people were more trust. Honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, or felt like people were being more honest. I think this would have been a no brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest part is that, people don't trust.
Yeah.
They don't trust because people have lied.
We have so many people that are like, have created this ecosystem of deception where we're just, everything needs to be tribal. Everything needs to be a fight. It always has to be a disagreement. Why does it always have to be a disagreement?
Yeah.
I mean, why does it have to be a fight? It can be a disagreement. Disagreements are fine, but it doesn't have to be a fight, and it doesn't have to be tribal. It doesn't have to be you versus me. It can be a discussion and we can disagree and, you know, and then we'll go wrestle in the backyard.
Yeah. Go wrestle.
Take our pants off.
What? Wait, no, we're not. Are we doing that now?
Get the baby oil.
What? Where are you going?
Well, see you later.
And on that note,
we should have some bourbon.
Hey. All right. So John brought the beer and I bring the bourbon and we both bring the Boulder Dash. All right. So this is the bourbon.
Skull.
Clinky, clinky, skull. And we're drinking it out of Glencairn glasses.
Do you think if we cheers next to the microphone, it would sound more official?
We can do it around here.
And we'll see.
I mean, it registered on the thing here.
Put your comments below.
Below. We don't have a comment section yet.
Thanks, Greg.
It's the comment section under Go F Yourself. You can put it right there. www.gofyourself.com. You've had it before. What do you think?
It's got a lingering burn. What is that? No.
Lingering burn.
Yeah, it's like hanging out on the sides of my tongue.
Oh, I gotta go get it. Hold up.
Uh-oh. There it is. In the paper bag.
In the paper bag like a fancy man on the street. All right.
You know, if you put it in a paper bag, it's legal.
It's legal. I learned that out watching The Wire on HBO.
Oh, of course. There it is.
Old Reliable Old Forester is what I chose. 86 proof bourbon. Some people like Jack, and some people like Beam, and I love Old Forester. It's all around the same price point.
I'm okay with Jack.
Yeah.
I will not drink Beam.
Yeah.
And I like Old Forester.
Yeah, this is nice.
This is a good everyday.
That's exactly what I went for. And it's just the everyday.
It's a solid choice.
You can find it in any grocery store at the price point. Well, in Washington, we pay a terrible, terrible tax on our liquor.
It's like 700%.
Yeah, 700%. That's exactly right. Thank you, John. And so this bottle cost me $10,000 and retail $21.99.
Bought it with cryptocurrency. Yeah,
bought it with crypto. The whole world going to hell, and you better have yourself a Bitcoin. So
what happens if there's an EMP? Then you're just screwed.
Yeah, maybe. I have a digital wallet. What happens to that?
It gets blown up.
Blown up.
Haven't you seen The Matrix?
No, I have actually. I watched it recently.
You hit the thing and it goes boom and then everything
dies.
That
you mentioned that because I know the new one's coming out.
I know. I'm excited. I saw a preview.
I'm actually really excited too.
And he's got John Wick hair.
He does have the John Wick hair. He's a lot older, but I think Keanu Reeves is handsome all the time.
Yeah.
We were watching Point Break when we were in Texas a couple times ago when we were in that snowstorm in Dallas. And I thought Swayze and him did a great job. It was a stupid movie. That movie is dumb. Stupid. Stupid movie. But he did he had the whole Bill and Ted thing, but he was still believable.
Surfer robbers.
Yeah, surfer robbers. They all look like Nixon or they're one of the presidents.
That's right.
So anyways, on our way to Colorado, I didn't want to talk to the guy that I was going with. So, I decided to watch The Matrix and I could only get like a half hour in before we landed and was able to finish it later on that night. And I was like, this is a great movie. This movie still stands.
They had The Matrix on the plane.
Yeah. On the Delta airplane.
Nice.
Yeah. But it still stood.
Yeah. We watched it the other night.
I was like, this is great. Mm-hmm. So of course the next night I watched Reloaded. And I was like, oh, I don't remember it. That's how great it was. It was so... I just remember the weird guys in the white suits.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
The albinos.
Yeah, with the dreads.
Yeah, white guys with dreads. That was cool. And then... So I haven't watched Revolution. I don't think I've ever watched Revolution. So
is the second one is Revolution?
No, the second one's Reloaded.
And then Revolution's the third one.
And then Revolution's. And then... But it didn't have the same kind of feel. Like, Reloaded didn't have the same... It was very tribal because it was, like, in Zion and whatnot.
So, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah,
I know. And then there's the sweaty dance party. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, because it was followed by a sex scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we might have turned it off at that point,
but Dana. To, like, techno.
I was talking to my wife. Yeah, it was. It was, like, techno...
Techno lovemaking.
We should do that next time. You convince Ellen, I'll convince Dana. And
who's then got we'll that compare kind of rhythm? Notes. Who can keep it up for that long?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
I don't want to listen to
it. We do it quietly anyways. We don't actually listen to music.
I'm a bit of a yeller.
Oh, okay. So like a peacock. That's hot. Do you shake your tail feathers around as well?
I do.
Fly around the room first.
Peacocks don't fly. Do they fly? I don't know if that's true.
Well, they glide.
I just made that up.
Sometimes they jump. They jump high like a bird. They got feathers. They get some lift. See them at the zoo. And anyways, so yeah,
moving on.
Yeah, I did see a bunch of wild turkeys in Colorado run across the street. There's like six of them.
This is like a frat guy with a case of
wild turkey
whiskey.
Yeah,
running a couple across the
barrels. Yep, 101. It's very good. And I was surprised about that too. Speaking of large birds,
we have wild turkeys at our property. Helen won't let me shoot them. Mm. She's a naturalist.
Oh.
She's not. I just made it up.
I was going to get a gun, not another rifle.
Well, maybe I can shoot the turkeys, just not the deer. Turkeys are ugly. She's not, the, not deer. The deer. She's another deer.
Oh. They taste good too, though.
Yeah, especially when they're fed on apples.
Oh, yeah.
It's just stuffed with beef fat.
Yeah, there was bears out there too. Can you guys kill the bears out on your property?
Yes. I think there's a season.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might bears taste good. Stink. They do, but you know, they taste good.
You know how in Harry and the Hendersons, when they're like, why does it smell so bad? That's what a bear smells like.
That was a good local reference.
Yeah, I know.
Good it's job, good. Man. That was great.
They're smelly, yeah. Smelly things.
Yeah.
They're like big, sweaty men, but like that didn't shower for years.
Oh, have you ever seen a shaved bear?
I've seen a hairless bear.
That's what I mean. Hairless bear.
I don't know that anyone's like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to shave a bear.
I don't know, after that beer that you brought, we might want to go shave some bears. I got a good idea.
That was the first and last podcast.
Join us, won't you, while we go shave a bear.
We have a really sad announcement. Hosts, I've been eaten by a bear. While trying to shave it.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, they're horrifying. They are monsters. They're
horrifying.
Like giant weirdly rats.
Skinny.
Yeah, ooh. They are. They're gross.
Gross.
What do you think of this?
It's good.
Yeah, it's always good.
Solid.
I think you and I have taken down a whole bottle once before at night.
I won't confirm or deny that.
We came close, at least. Chelan, yeah. Oh,
that's right. Chelan.
Oh, that's right.
We did.
I supervised you while you chopped down that tree on your property so no one would watch me throw up.
The next morning. Just get it down so I can go away.
You make the loud boom and I'll hurl right here.
That was a morning.
That was a rough morning.
I felt great. Good enough to use a chainsaw.
Yeah.
That's
good.
I might have still been drunk. That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah. I think Helen, I remember someone told me to go over there and make sure that you would be okay chopping it down. And I was like, okay.
I believe it was, if he gets hurt, let us know so we can call 911.
I could at least do that.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah. Something happened. Can you guys come down here? I don't feel good.
Oh, Lord.
So I think this was the, if I'm correct, I think this was like the first, one of the first bottled, yeah, it says right there on the tag, you dummy, first bottled bourbon. So, and I found this after a long, long time searching for good, flavorful, affordable, I don't want to say cheap, whiskeys. So yeah. Affordable whiskeys. And so this was one of my all-time favorites. Since then, I've matured, and there's others that I like better, but they're at a higher price point. So if I want something that's is affordable and is easy drinking, this is what I go for.
Well, you're a trained, certified whiskey drinker now, right? What do you call it?
Sure. I have graduated from the Moonshine University Stave and Thief Society. Mm. I have a pin to prove it. It's very pompous. And I feel like a douche talking about it, which is why I don't bring it up.
Tell us more, Wes.
Well, I like what I like. And I think that's the most important thing that people should take away from it.
Yes.
Is just to be able to... You know, like with anything. And I did this at Starbucks with coffee. So we had to know every single coffee. We had to be able to do tastings with people. We had to pair it with food. So it's easy to kind of smell. Now, I don't think I have the best palate. I think there's people that have much better palates because you watch some people and they smell and they're like, oh, butterscotch. Oh yeah, and I can smell the barrel that they had it fermenting.
Oh, I'm a douchebag.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, smells like turds.
It smells like turds. Mm. Is that baby vomit I got in there? A little essence of poo.
I feel like I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I just smell it and it's like, oh yeah, that smells like an oak barrel.
Thanks, Nigel.
And yeah. It's light. Mm-hmm. Color is really important. There's some nice color in this one. It's, you know, if you look at the bottle, there's more red in the bottle than, but this is still kind of dark. I've had lighter, like I think Woodinville has a lighter color. It's more of a yellowy color, which
depending on which one you get.
Yeah. So this is nice. That's why I went for it. Easy.
Tell me something about whiskey that I might not know.
I don't know. You and I talk a lot about whiskey and drink it. So I'm not sure there's anything that you don't know about whiskey.
Well, I know a lot about beer. I know less about whiskey than you do. You know a lot about whiskey.
I've shared all my knowledge in my douchey way. That's why I'm...
But it's not douchey, because it's...
Do you know what bottled in bond means? That's an easy one.
No, that's a good one.
Oh, you know?
No, I don't.
Oh, that means that the government used to hold on to barrels of alcohol so that they would not be treated with something else. So if you were a distiller... And from the time that someone picked up your barrel to bring to, that was my dryer.
Laundry's done.
Laundry's done. We're in the basement doing this podcast, by the way. So anyways, they would grab the barrel from the distillery and then they would take it to wherever that they were going to distribute the alcohol, whether through the keg itself, which is most likely because it was before these things were bottled, before whiskey was bottled. So they would... sometimes the people who were carrying it, they would put maybe more sugar in it so it was a sweeter, or they would put crap in it basically. Well, if you had the government hold on to it in government warehouses, you can assure, because there was a bonded label on it, that no one was going to mess with this whiskey. Hmm. So it was bottled in bond. And so you can find some bottled in bond whiskey still. That's their recipe for when it was there. It's usually a higher proof whiskey. Mm-hmm. Evan Williams actually has a very affordable, good bottle and bond. That's the one that you and I took down a whole bottle in Desert Air one night. And I think Old Forester might even have a bottled and bond, but it's higher proof.
And as we know, the government can be trusted to keep things safe.
Well, they could then.
Sure.
They could then. I mean, honestly, if you think about how much...
Well, what's then? Is this like...
Before like... the three-letter organizations had... been developed and got their sticky fingers into everything.
But like before Prohibition or after?
I think it was before Prohibition. But Old Forester, I mean, it says right here on the bottle, but it says continuously sold before, during, and after Prohibition.
Of course, during.
Yeah, that's the important part. So,
because the government's the reason that so many people went blind from Prohibition. It's like misconception that homemade alcohol will make you go blind, just like masturbating.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's because the
government... Where are you? I can't see you.
It's because the alcohol is used in industrial processes, yep. And the industrial alcohol was shipped and people would take that and blend it and drink it because alcohol is hard to come by.
Yep.
And the government started putting poison in it to keep people from drinking. And of course, people are idiots and they would drink it anyway and they would go blind. And the government knew and they let it happen anyway.
Interesting. So the government messed with someone's product to make people sick so they'd stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It's funny because I always start with the government is always against you no matter what.
Well, that's where I start. They just want our dollars.
Yeah. They want our dollars.
They want our dollars to give to somebody else.
Our children. I'm going to go full Alex Jones on you right now.
They can have my children.
They can have your children?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I don't need them. They're expensive.
Well, they already have them. Yeah. The moment your children are born, their birth certificate has a number on it. That's their ID number. And then you get a social security number. And now you're really in the matrix.
Hmm.
Don't own them anymore. At any point in time, if you have young kids, I have adult kids. If you have young kids.
You could give them away to the government.
Someone could just say something and the government will come in and take them away.
That's true.
The state will come in and take them away. They're not your children. If the state has that much power, just take kids out?
I don't know. Give me an example of when that's actually happened, when it wasn't, when it shouldn't happen.
I can't. Obviously, I can't.
I mean, I know. I'm. Yeah.
I can't say it. You can't say it never happened, though.
No, I can't.
So, but I can't tell you that it I can't give you an example of when it has. Oh, the case against the state versus, I can't do that.
Nice.
I'm not that good.
No, me neither. That's not what this podcast is about.
Oh, no, no, it's not. It's about nonsense. Mm-hmm. So, but we always, this is, like I said, part of our conversation is that we always kind of go down these roads, and it's mm-hmm. fun. It's fun that way.
You better drink that.
I will. Jerk. I'm sniffing it first.
That's good.
You know, so that you can, if you're tasting, and you wanted to smell the next whiskey, you're supposed to smell your arm so that mm-hmm. you smell your own scent before you go and smell the next whiskey.
Yeah. So while you're trained at whiskey tasting,
yes,
I'm a certified beer judge.
So are you really?
I am.
Why didn't I know this? You probably said it.
BJCP.
BJCP.
Beer judge certification blow program.
Job. Okay.
Blow job.
Clown posse. Let's go.
I paid $25 and gave a reach around and I got my my certificate.
At the wet t-shirt contest.
I had to print That's it great. Out myself.
Cool. I had to print it out myself from the Church of BJs.
I can now taste beer and marry people.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You got a lot of power.
Church of Unity and hops.
And hops. That's good.
If you're a homebrewer, you can enter beer judging or beer competitions. You can enter your beers and have them judged, and because everybody loves to be judged. And then, you know, you see people win their awards and their beers, like actual breweries. But there are certified beer judges that do this. And it's all volunteer. None of it's paid. It's like, how hard is it to get somebody who loves beer to drink good beer?
And then judge someone on it.
The really funny part, though, is like if you do the homebrew competitions, some of them are terrible. Like there are categories like Rausch beers that are like, they're like smoky. It's like licking a Sharpie. And you're supposed to like be objective.
Can't be like Gordon Ramsay.
It's terrible. I'm a certified beer judge. I've judged a bunch of competitions. I actually really enjoy doing it. And one of the great things about the beer judge program is it's not about shooting people down. The entire process, like you can't get a zero on a score. The entire process is built to help people make better beer. Hmm. So you're trained to give constructive feedback of like what the flaws are and how you could make it better. So you have to actually understand how beer is made to be a beer judge.
Yeah.
So it's really fun tasting things. And then like we've gone out and had a beer and you're like, oh, this is like, it was fermented too hot or there's a bacterial infection or like actually understanding why a sour tastes weird. Like if you had a sour beer and you didn't know it was going to be a sour beer, you'd think the beer was bad. But actually understanding why it tastes that way and where it came from and whether it's less about whether or not you like it and more about what it actually is, I always think is really fun.
I had a great one in Colorado this week. Great sour. It was fantastic at the airport.
Oh,
but it was a Colorado beer.
Do you know what the brewery was?
No. Cause I don't know. Cause they have a ton of microbrews mm-hmm. in Colorado.
Oh yeah.
So I can't think of one that
was Tire.
No.
New Belgium.
No, it wasn't one that I actually heard of before, but it was a fantastic mm-hmm. sour.
Why'd you decide to have that one?
I like sours. So I thought, and the last time I was down there, I had a sour. I know it wasn't the same brand because it didn't sound familiar. I just can't tell you what it was. And it tasted differently, but I like sours. So, and they're not high in alcohol content, so I'm not going to get on the plane and get silly. So,
why not? That's the only way I can fly.
Oh, man, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I got on a plane and all of a sudden it's like, we're hitting 110 mile an hour winds. And
flying in out of Denver is the worst.
Yeah.
It's like
bad.
It's awful.
Yeah.
The only way I can handle it is if I'm a little bit, well, now high, like secretly high.
Yeah. Secret high.
Uh-huh.
It's Rocky Mountain high. They don't mind.
No, they don't care.
Yeah. Mile high club. Is that the same thing? Being high on a plane? I don't know.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Is
that something you have to talk to me about later?
So... beer's good.
Oh yeah, back to that. So when you became a judge, Did you have to prove that you knew what you're talking about by actually having someone else judge you by your beer?
So part of the process is you have to judge next to certified judges.
Okay.
And so you have your own score sheet, and then you compare it with, like, you learn from judges who've been doing it for a while, and you start to learn. Like, it's not, you're not, like, graded and, like, discounted or not. Like, they want people to do it, but you do spend time sitting next to actual, like, certified judges that have been doing it for a while to learn the things they pick out and the things that like the way they respond, and so you'll do these not official judgings of beers next to the official judgings, and you compare notes. You're like, well, I scored this to be a 38, and the trained guy said 42, and why was there a discrepancy, and what did they pick out? And even if there's a discrepancy in scores, it doesn't mean you were wrong. It means you tasted things differently, but the point is you start to understand what they're looking for and how they look at the beers, and learning to be not subjective, objective. You're looking for all the good things.
Yeah.
And being able to describe them without judgment on the beer itself. Like, sure. One of the best things is to have a beer you don't like and to be able to say, I don't like this, but it's still good. Like, for what it's supposed to be, it's a good beer. Like, I think Rausch beers are terrible, but there is a good version of a Rausch beer. I just don't like it. Like, sours. Oh, okay. Sours is a good example. Like, people don't typically like sour beers, but being able to say that a sour beer is good and not like it, that's kind of what you're going for. You just need to understand the beer more so than you need to. It's not about your personal enjoyment.
Yeah, not about your personal taste of it. Yeah. That it was done well. Mm-hmm. And this is what it's supposed to taste like.
Executed appropriately, mm-hmm. meets the guidelines. I don't like it.
But to become a judge, did you have to submit one of your beers?
You have to do a bunch of tastings. You have to do a bunch of judgings where your judging is not official. Like, you have to practice.
Okay.
But there's no, like, you had to do a test, right? Like, you had to prove that you knew what you're talking about.
And then the final test was, could I do a flight of whiskeys and be able to talk to someone about it, about what they smell and what they like about it and not like about it. Basically talk to them about it.
So this is not nearly that official, which is why I did it and I was able to do it
and drink beer.
Yep.
Okay.
And I get to drink beer.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
When's the last time you made a homebrew?
It's been a while. And the last batch that I made was supposed to be for our wedding.
Yeah.
And it turned out not great. And also, we never got married.
Oh.
Officially. We got married. We'll just edit that out. We got married, but we didn't have a reception.
No, you haven't had your reception yet.
No.
I watched the marriage. I watched it.
The marriage.
Brings us together.
That's a whole another pile of nonsense we don't need to get into today.
No, not today.
Not today. It's another day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, the Koof came and made it so that you guys could not get married in a church or a reception area that you guys picked out originally. Yeah. And
instead, we picked a wind tunnel on a mountain.
Yeah. Actually, it was sweet, though. Mm. I got trashed on Zoom.
Yeah, so did a lot of people.
A lot of champagne.
People got dressed up to sit in front of their computer screens.
That's how much they care about you guys.
It was pretty fun. It was good.
They were really, really rooting for Helen.
It was. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
We don't know why you're doing it, but okay.
That's not true. She just sees something we don't. So anyways, just kidding.
Yeah, because I don't take my pants off in front of you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I have not yet seen. Paul's seen it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. We showered together once.
Oh, my gosh.
Nigel. It's Nigel. It's not Paul.
No, you gave it up. They don't know who Paul is.
No, they don't.
I'm not editing that out. I don't care.
We already ruined
it. No one's going to listen to episode one anyways. No. It'll be like episode five. Like, shut up, Jamokes.
Shut up, Greg. Nobody cares what you have to say.
Greg.
Gregory. 2-year-old Greg. We already decided that's the worst name for a baby. Greg. Who names their kid Greg?
Yeah, you think about that. Like, oh, what's your baby's name? Greg. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Greg? Sorry, Gregs.
Like a middle-aged man that plays softball.
Okay.
has knee braces.
Yeah.
But not knee braces, but like the sleeve.
Oh, okay.
You know, the neoprene thing. Yeah.
He's almost at knee replacement, but he's not quite there.
He probably sells windows.
Oh, windows. Mm-hmm. That's oddly specific. Do you know a Greg that sells windows?
No, I don't. But it seems like a thing that Greg would do. Need my windows replaced. Oh, hey, Greg.
Yeah, I know a guy. His name's Greg.
Yeah, Greg. Call Greg.
Nice guy.
Call Greg.
Great guy.
Windows.com.
Yeah, windows.com. Greg.
Greg.
Thanks, Greg. Is it, it's always Greg, never Gregory.
No.
You don't hear too many Gregories. No. But all their names are Gregory.
Because of Gregory, you don't want to hang out with.
No. It's too many syllables.
Yeah. You remember Gregory? I wish I didn't.
Gregory.
Gregory.
Yeah.
Is Gregory coming? Damn it.
Yeah. It's not a nice sounding word, Gregory.
It's a little snooty.
Gregory. I don't know. Just keep saying it over and over again. Gregory.
It's got Gregory. A bit of a dirge to it.
Yeah, it is. It's not a nice sound.
Yeah. Well, skull.
Yeah, skull. That was dumb.
And that was this week's episode of Mulder Dash.
Gregory.
Gregory. Bread.
Of bread.
Bread. Just say it again. Bread.
Aluminum. What a weird word that is. Aluminium.
Oh, Lord. So, in this week, in John's life,
yes,
got my kid rolling weed.
Nice.
It was the best, too, because...
Did you do it well, though?
I don't know.
Oh.
But we shocked him because, like, I'm not anti-weed by any means, but I'm not going to have my 17-year-old son doing any of that nonsense. And Helen actually smelled it, and he hadn't even smoked anything, and he's in his room. He just opened the jar, and it proliferated the entire...
Weed.
Yeah, it was awful. Like, Tay, you're... I mean, Bradley, you got some skunk weed there. What are you doing? And he was shocked that we knew right away, walked in. And also, I confiscated it. And Christmas Day might be a little fun. Oh,
might be a little funny.
I don't want to smoke it, but I might make some treats.
Oh, that's not bad. That's
like a little ginger. Or
have everyone hallucinate while they're watching space movies.
Yeah, a little snickerdoodle. Perfect. While we watch Spaceballs.
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 Spaceballs is the best.
Just one cookie. Just one little cookie.
Divide now, we all know about you and cookies.
Well, in this room, we all know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For our listeners, let me tell you the story of John and the cookie. Just kidding.
That one time, he couldn't get the package open. Oh. Those packages are tricky.
My favorite part of that whole story is that you had already had some. And then I caught you in the corner, like, eating more. You told me that was the first time you had been eating it.
No, it's the first one. I had a bit in the car.
And then you went to the moon.
Yeah.
And then you came back down the next morning and told us about your space story.
And then quite a bit later, you understood why it was so terrible for me, because we had not even close to the amount that I had that night, and we could barely stand up.
Yeah.
What happened?
That was potent.
And then we had to listen to Nigel talk about marble racing.
Good Lord.
For like an hour. It was probably like 5 minutes, but it seemed like it never stopped.
It didn't stop. It went on. And he had to have known. Like, he had to like looked at us and been like,
we were so high.
And he just kept looking at us and talking and just
he named
on
all the marbles.
He named the marbles.
Named them all.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Good times.
Good times.
Well, John, this was fun.
Yeah.
And we drank our Old Forester.
We sure did.
And our Ohm Gang. Did I say that right?
Ohma Gang.
Ohma Gang. Three Philosophers, which was delicious.
Because you and me and Nigel.
Yep.
The Three Philosophers.
The Three Philosophers. Can't wait to get him on the call. And
or his wife.
Or his wife. Preferably his wife. We could... we'll do episode 2 shortly. And for now, we'll just enjoy more of this Old Forester.
Outro.
Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right.
Love it.
Skull.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Skull.